doesn't it? That just means heart attack. Let's just say heart attack, right? And when we talk about eschatology, that's a big word. It's a technical word. It's a real word. But we're talking about when Jesus returns, the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is an absolute reality that we have been looking forward to for 2,000 years as a church, and many of us, most of our lives. So Jesus is coming again.
Yep, he's coming again. You know, people talk about what the future might be and talk about what they hope for in the future, but nobody knows the future except for Christians. We know the future. We don't know the preciseness of the future and when Jesus returns, but we know he returns and he wins and he's coming back, and we can live with that hope. And that is a great thing to know, that Jesus comes and makes everything right.
Now, there are a lot of things that we have to recognize we don't understand completely. We acknowledge that. Deuteronomy 29:29, looked at that just yesterday. Those things that are revealed, they're given to us. But the things that are concealed, they belong to God. There are some things that are concealed that we just don't understand yet, and we need to be okay with that. It's okay to live with mystery. And 1 Corinthians 13 says there's some things that we just look at through a glass darkly. We don't understand this yet, but there's coming a day when we will see as we're seen, we will know as we are fully known, we'll understand everything then. Until then, we can live with the mystery of not needing to know everything. Amen? I hope you can, because you don't and you won't.
Yeah. So we're going to look at three things today. One is that Jesus will return. Two, that Jesus will judge. And then three, that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. So there's our outline for this morning. So let's start with that Jesus will return. We're just going to look at Revelation 19, 20, 21, and 22. Just kind of take the end of the Bible here today and just talk about those big themes. So in chapter 19, we see Jesus coming. Here he comes, right? Verse 11, then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And the one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. And his eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. And he is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. Who's that? That's Jesus. He's coming back. He came the first time as the gentle lamb that died for our sins. But he's coming back as the triumphant king in his second coming.
Now listen, there's some things we want to look at about his return. First off, it's going to be sudden, it's going to be personal, and it is going to be visible. Every eye will see him. Well, how's that going to happen? I don't know. Deuteronomy 29:29, some things are a mystery, and I'm okay with that. But it's going to happen, and he said in 2 Peter chapter 3, it's going to happen. He's going to return like a thief in the night. Yes. Jesus said, if you knew when the thief was coming, you'd have set a guard. Right? He looked at the disciples and said, you do not know when the master is coming, so you need to be busy about your Nintendo.
Football. It's football season, Robert.
Need to be busy about your football games. Some of us are a little happier after yesterday than others, but anyway.
Oh boy, here we go.
We need to be, no, we're not. No, we're not. We need to be busy. It would have been better for me if you had won yesterday. Good grief, what are you talking about? We need to be busy about the work, because he is coming like a thief in the night. We do not know when. It could be any moment. It could be another 2,000 years. But friends, we must live as if it's this afternoon, because he is coming. It's going to be sudden. It's going to be personal. And it's going to be visible when he returns.
And we don't know when. You know, a lot of people, right, some even good-meaning Christians, have tried to predict when Jesus was coming. You know, I remember back in the 80s, they were telling me, there was one author that said Jesus is going to be back by 1988, you know, and I was a trembling youth kid, you know, in the youth group and going, oh boy.
How many reasons did he have to prove it?
Yeah.
He had 88.
Yeah. Anyway, so we were like, okay, get ready, he's coming. And you know, I saw all the sins in my life, and I was, like, afraid. But, you know, he was wrong. 1988 passed. And
then he came up with 89 reasons why he was coming in 1990.
Yeah.
No. It was 89. Yeah.
But Bible tells us that you don't know when. We don't know when. And so anybody that tries to tell us when it is, we don't know. It's going to be like a thief in the night. Yeah.
And then he said there are going to be signs of his coming. There are going to be things that are happening that those who are watching the horizon will know, boy, things are shaping up well. We're not going to name dates. We don't have dates. We don't have any clue. But we do know, he said, you can be assured, Matthew 24, that many are going to come in my name saying, I am the Christ. And they will lead many astray. I was reading just this past week, Sun Myung-moon, who came and said he is the Christ. He is the third Adam. When Jesus is listed as the second and the last Adam, I don't know how you get third in there 2,000 years later, but Sun Myung-moon, who said he is Christ, is dead. Mm-hmm. Which proves he ain't Christ. There are going to be a lot who come and say, I am the Christ. He said in Mark chapter 13, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. Don't be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still not yet. It still hasn't come. Because nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes in diverse places, famines. These are the beginnings of the birth pains. This is going to be a devastating time. And things are going to get worse and worse until the end.
Yeah. And we might look and say, well, it just doesn't seem that bad right now, and it might not be. Obviously, it isn't, because Jesus hasn't returned yet. However, things can change quickly and suddenly, can't they? Right? When you look at this world, you know kind of how precariously it kind of spins and holds together. That just in a moment, a big word in the Bible is suddenly, right? That suddenly everything goes, and here's the Antichrist, and here's all the nations at war, and here's this big mess. And Jesus said, I'm going to return, and I'm ready to come, right? So if there's just the right time, he'll come, and we just got to be ready.
Now look, the Bible says that there's going to be a resurgence of evil. There's going to be a great uprising, increase in evil. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that things will wax worse and worse until the end. It's going to get worse. Look on the dark side. It's going to get worse. It said in 2 Thessalonians 2 that Jesus cannot return until two things. The man of sin has been revealed and a great falling away has taken place. Those two things have to happen. He said in Matthew, as it was in the days of Noah. He said in Luke, as it was in the days of Lot. And we go, well, it's just as bad then. Obviously, it's not. Because if it were as bad now as it was then, what? Jesus would have already come. And he hasn't come. And you know what's interesting is that at the same time that this resurgence of evil is taking place, the Bible said there's going to be the greatest revival that the world has ever seen. He said in Acts 2:17, in the latter days, this is what was talked about in Joel, that in the latter days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. This is it. Friends, we've been in the last days for 2,000 years. And the revival that started the day of Pentecost is continuing today. The church is still the most active, powerful, growing organism on the face of the earth. And we can choose whether we're going to be worried about and concerned with and afraid of the resurgence of evil, or if we're going to be a part of the revival that God is bringing to the earth.
The Bible tells us to long and to look forward to his return, because he will come and settle all matters and bring peace and bring his people to himself. And so we should look forward to that, right? I think we all in our hearts try to make earth as good as we can, and we should do that. We want it to be good for ourselves. We try to live in a way that will be a blessed life. But earth just somehow leaves us a little bit short, doesn't it, if we're honest? There's an ache in our hearts for something better, something more. We just realize that we're made for a better place. And that's why we should long for his return, because it will make all things well and all things right. As a teenager, I was a little afraid, you know, but today, as a man who walks close with Jesus, I can hardly wait till he gets back. He's going to come and settle and make things right. And we should long for that return and look forward to it, that he will come and we will see once and for all what we were made for, and that is intimate, personal relationship face-to-face with God.
This is something we long for. He said our citizenship in Philippians chapter 3, our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of another kingdom. And then Paul tells us in Titus chapter 2 that we are waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The second coming is our blessed hope. Now, we use that word as, golly gee, I hope, you know. I hope I win the sweepstakes. I hope I win the lottery, and then I'll pay tithe on it. Jesus, please make it happen. But that's not what hope means in the Bible. Hope is not a maybe, so it's not a divine, wouldn't it be great? Hope is the absolute certainty that God is going to accomplish something. He said in Hebrews 10:23, hold unswervingly to the hope you profess, because what's our hope rooted in? He who promised is faithful. Our hope is rooted in the promise of God, and the promise of God is Jesus is going to return, and we can have a solid, assured hope in that reality.
So the first point is Jesus will return. That's a certainty. Second of all, Jesus will judge. When you follow now from Revelation 19 to Revelation 20, you find Jesus coming, and he is judge. Revelation 20, 11, 15, it says this, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. And this is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire.
Now look, that verse tells us, that passage tells us, believers and unbelievers will be judged. We are all going to stand in front of him. We will all stand before the judgment seat of God, Romans 14:10. Each of us will give an account of himself to God, 14:12. And we look at that, and this can strike fear in so many of us. And what happened to grandma? And what about that friend of mine? Listen, here's my realization. Here's my conclusion on this. God is eternally good. Amen? God is completely all-knowing. Amen? He knows a lot a bit more about it than I do. And he, in his complete knowledge and his complete goodness, will deal with everyone who stands in front of him in complete justice and righteousness.
Amen.
If there's a way to throw them into heaven, he's going to do it. And if they have chosen to reject him, he will honor that choice.
Yeah. It's really important for those of us who believe in Jesus. And you read those verses, those are kind of frightening verses. And I think they should be frightening. Mm-hmm. They're frightening, right? Let's be honest. When Jesus comes, who knows everything, he's going to judge rightly, right? And it's a little frightening. But the Bible also tells us that those who are of us who are believers in Jesus, there is no condemnation. No condemnation to those who are in Christ. The judgments will be gracious and they'll be loving. And none of them will be in any way condemning of us. It will really be primarily, when you read the scriptures as a whole, rewards for how we have lived in his grace. And so we should look forward to that time. Though it is like daunting a bit, it will be gracious and kind and rewarding as his people.
Yeah. There will be justice. That day is coming. Colossians 3, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. And you know, Christians have been accused, and okay, I get it, of being pie in the sky by and by. Oh, I'm going to get my mansion in glory land and all that, and so we'll not deal with any change down here. That's not what this is talking about. That's not what this is calling us to. But it is an assurance that justice does come. God will make certain that everything is dealt with appropriately on that day. Now listen, here's where we have to be careful. Isn't it interesting how we want justice for those who have done nasty things to us? But we want mercy for the foolish things that we have done. They were terrible. We made a mistake, right? But we all realize that somewhere in the world right now is someone thinking about each one of us who can't wait till we get what we deserve. He's going to deal out justice in righteousness, and we can entrust that to him.
Yeah, and it's to his glory that he's just. We want to be thankful that our God will be holy and do it right, but it is to God's glory that all these judgments will be perfect and fair, gracious and kind and true. And so we can trust him to his glory that he will judge correctly. And I think this has a great impact on us and how we live our lives here, because have you ever been offended by somebody else this day, this week, this month, treated unfairly, right, hurt? What the Bible says is we're to forgive. And what forgiveness means is we entrust their judgment to a good and holy and kind God. We don't pay them back. It's not our job. Revenge is mine, says the Lord, right? Entrust to me is what Jesus did as he hung on a cross. He entrusted to the Father the right judgment of those people so we can forgive in light of God's justice. He will deal with it right, and we just release them. That's what forgiveness is, and trust a good and holy God to deal rightly with people and us.
The truth of the return of Christ, the truth of the justice and the judgment that he's going to bring should motivate us. And one of the things that should motivate us, you know, it's been interesting to me. I've been watching these guys for 45 years who, when they talk about Jesus is coming back, they look for somebody to blame. It's getting the end of the world and all these things are going bad and they end up getting mad about it. I've never understood that. If the end of the world, they're going to blame the Russians and vote against the Democrats and we got to have somebody to make as the bad guy here. But if Jesus coming back is the end of the world, isn't that a good thing? We don't want to speed it along, you know, because there are people who are going to hell if they haven't met Jesus yet. We've got to get our work done. But friends, the second coming of Jesus does not motivate us to anger. It motivates us to righteous living. He said in Luke 21, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise up your heads because your redemption is drawing nigh. And how many of us look at the wars and rumors of wars and all the bad things happening and try and blame it on somebody? Jesus said, this is good news. He tells us in 1 John 3, beloved, now you are God's children, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. And everyone, listen to this, everyone who has this hope in them purifies himself just like Jesus is pure. A proper understanding of the second coming of Jesus leads to purity on the part of his people, excitement on the part of his people that we lift up our heads and rejoice because redemption really is very close.
I remember sitting in somebody's home as a high school kid, and my youth pastor, who I loved and changed my life profoundly, was talking to us, and he was reading out of 2 Peter 3, and he read these verses. Since all these things are going to be dissolved in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? And it just launched me. I just came out of that night committed to a new life of holiness and godliness before God. But it also launched me into, oh my gosh, I got all these friends who are living these crazy lives. I've got to rescue them. And that was a passion that was just burning inside of me and became just sort of this crazy witness for Jesus, you know. And everybody's like going, whoa, what happened to Kevin? Well, Kevin got Jesus going in his heart and moved him and changed him. And out of that time, my wife came to know Christ and good friends came to know Jesus. And it was a powerful time in my life, but it was motivated by the idea of Jesus coming back. It changed me radically. And so in that passage of 2 Peter chapter 3, it says the Lord is not slow and to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so when we know that there's a judgment coming, right, and that people are going to stand before Jesus, it should motivate us, right, to say, don't be in a bad place with Jesus. He loves you. He cares about you. He laid down his life for you. Come to him. Give your life to him. Get in the safe place. Be with him when he's coming charging with his horse. Don't be against him. That's a bad place to be. Let's get on Jesus' side. It was a motivation for evangelism for
me. Amen. First off, Jesus will return. Secondly, Jesus will judge. And thirdly, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. We're going to get a new one of these. I was standing, we were in Vegas last week with Travis and Keith Radke at a conference for church planters down there, and we were out late walking, and walking east, and there came the moon, full moon. And it just, it grabbed me. This is such a beautiful place we live. It's such a beautiful world that God has created for us to enjoy. It was just amazing. Hanging over there, over one of those casinos, it was almost as exciting as the flashing lights it was hanging over. But what a beautiful world we live in. And Jesus gave that to us for free. And he said, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah.
We get a new heaven and a new earth.
Yeah, listen to Revelation chapter 21 now, verse 1-4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Does that sound good? Oh my gosh, that is what is coming. And it says that we will have our dwelling place with God. We will live with God forever and ever. We will be in his perfect presence. We get to enjoy his presence now, but it's through a glass dimly. Then we will see him face to face and dwell in his presence. We will enjoy what we've been made for, and that is to walk in the presence of God. Now, I want us to understand this, that what heaven is, it isn't primarily grandma.
Oh, man.
Right? Or your lost spouse. Those are important people to you. Those are people that matter. Right? They matter. Don't get me wrong. But heaven is Jesus and knowing God. And your face and your body and who you are will light up in his presence. You'll enjoy the company of other believers. But heaven is about the enjoyment of God, and that's what we're made for.
I am going there to see my Father. Does not mean my dad. It means my Father. What a great place that will be. He said that the day is coming, Matthew 25, when the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the earth." Look, it took him 7 days to create that moon that came up the other night. He's been working on the kingdom since the foundations of the earth. Keith Green had a song that said it took him 7 days to build the earth. He's been working on my house for 2,000 years. It's going to be pretty cool. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, 18:17, he said, "Now listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to encourage one another with these words. I want you to encourage one another with these words. It's going to be a great day. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth that's going to make this one look like yesterday's garbage." Friends, it is a good day, and we get to be there with Jesus in the presence of the Father.
Yeah. At thy right hand are pleasures, pleasures forevermore. Who do I have in heaven but you? Psalm 73. And Jesus said, "I'm going away," right? "I'm going away to prepare a place for you," right? And Jesus is a master builder, right? I mean, he's got all the resources. He's got, right? He's not short on funds. And he's building a place for his bride, right? How do you feel about your bride, those of you who have one, right? What would you do for her, right? That's what Jesus is doing for us. He's building a palace for us. And then when he's ready, he's coming to get us, to take us, to be with him. That we should look forward to. That's going to be amazing. He's going to blow us away with what he has for us.
It's going to be wonderful, and it's all according to the promise that there will be righteousness dwelling. Do you realize that all creation looks at us and says, "You people have got to be the most boneheaded"? Do you realize, according to Romans 8, it says that all creation longs for the redemption of the sons of God? Because all creation has been held under sin, not by their own doing, waiting now, waiting, looking forward to the day when Jesus returns for his people, so that all creation can say, "Oh, man, it's about time." That's why them dogs bite you. They know what you did. But friends, all creation groans, is what it says in Romans 8. Groans in anticipation and expectation of the revelation and the redemption of the sons and daughters of God. It's going to be a great day when God releases all creation from the curse of sin that is the result of our conduct.
So picture this with us, right? A new heaven and a new earth, right? So heaven is where God abides, and now it's going to be on earth with a new earth. But a new earth is an earth without sin. So all the beauty and the glory and the goodness of earth, imagine this place that we enjoy. So many things to enjoy here. Everything to enjoy, but without sin. So it's just going to be God with us in an earth, new earth, so that we can just enjoy and live with him forever and ever. We'll be given these resurrection bodies that don't have sin. Jesus in his resurrection body, he ate, enjoyed food, right? We're invited to a marriage supper of the Lamb. That's going to be the biggest banquet you've ever seen. We get to eat. We get to do, it's earth-like, live ourselves. We'll know each other. We have resurrected bodies. We get to live without sin in this place like earth that's brand new with God with us. I mean, I just can't imagine how amazing that will be.
Wow.
Woo!
Okay, next time you do that, let me know and I'll turn my earpiece down because my hearing had actually gotten better in that ear. Thank you so much. And you know what? Now look, we have bodies that relate us to the world that we have now. We have bodies that contact us with the things that are around us. We can register temperature and feel what's going on and see and hear. What's it going to be like in that world, that new heaven, that new earth? What's that going to be like? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that just like we have bodies now that relate to this reality, we will have bodies then which will relate properly to that reality. This body will be done as this reality is done, and we will be given new bodies which will relate properly to that reality. I do not want to go underwater without gills or scuba equipment. God is going to make certain that whatever environment we are in that time, we will be able to relate to it as appropriately and as easily as we relate to this environment. He said, what is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. This is sown in dishonor, it's going to be raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, and everyone who had a birthday this year said, yes, it is. It is raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, is there one? Huh? There will be. There is also a spiritual body. That is his promise. We will relate to it appropriately as this body relates to this world appropriately.
And we will get to spend all of eternity getting to know and explore and understand the beauty and the goodness of our God and his love for us. There will be a never-ending resource of new things to discover about him and know about him and love about him and worship him in it. It's just like this constantly, totally place of happiness with ever-expanding happiness because we get to know him more and more and more and love him more and more and more. And so we want to be ready for this, right? We want to be ready. I often do this picture. I've talked about this before. If we could just draw a rope across this worship center from that wall to that wall and say that's a billion-year timeline, right? The next billion years. How much of that rope is our physical life right now? I mean, like a little tiny segment on the one end, and then the rest of it is eternity. But how we live that little half inch at that end determines how all of eternity will be lived. And so these days are so important right now to serve Jesus, to give our lives to Jesus, to trust Jesus as Savior, right? I mean, part of the warning in this is like if you don't believe in Jesus, believe in him. Yep. Get on his team. Because your decisions in this little snapshot of time affects billions of years. And so it's an invitation. It's gracious of God to tell us this is what's ahead. Now get yourself ready. So let's be a prepared people.
And as we prepare, Jesus said, here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to waste your time building up treasures where moth and rust decay and thieves break through and steal. When he said that, he meant it. Thieves came right through the walls. That's what you do with an adobe house. And they're going to steal. But I want you to lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal, because it has been entrusted with someone to whom we can give our lives. The most important decision that can ever be made is to make certain that we are depositing in the right eternal account. And that can only be done through entrance in a very straight and narrow way. If you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior, what hope do you have of making it into that kingdom, of making it through that narrow gate? Because Jesus said, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. No one, John 14:6, no one comes to the Father except through him. If you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, he is coming again, and he is going to be welcomed by those who know him. If you don't know him, you can know him before you leave today.
Yeah, so let's each one of us take some moments here and quiet our hearts, and let's prepare ourselves, right? Let's get ourselves ready to meet Jesus. He's coming back, right? It might be today. It might not be for 100 years. We don't know, but we're to be ready. And so we want to prepare ourselves. We have one little life to live. We've all been given one little life. 100 years if we're fortunate and blessed, right? And then all of eternity. So let's not waste it. Let's not miss it. We're not here by accident this morning. We're to be sober-minded in light of this, it tells us. Let's be sober. Let's think about these things. Let's be chaste in light of these things. We've got people who are going to come and are prepared to pray with you if you want to come. They'll be glad to pray with you. But let's not miss this moment. This is a chance for us to recenter our lives. And we always need to keep getting bumped back to center, don't we? This has been good for me to study this week and to think on these things. One more time to be sober-minded, to make sure I'm ready to meet Jesus. Let's get ready.
He said, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. That's been done in the past. Don't harden your heart. Listen to him today. We say, well, I'm going to resolve to be better. Friends, it's not about being better, because you don't go to heaven because you're good. You don't go to hell because you're bad. Our sin has put a wall between us and God. And that wall can only be dealt with in the person of Jesus Christ on the cross. And he offers us forgiveness of sin if we will come to him and not say, oh, Jesus was a great guy, but we come to him and confess that Jesus is Lord. God has raised him from the dead. Then we are saved. If you'd like to know more about how you can become a Christian, if you have prayer needs about anything this morning, we encourage you to take advantage of the opportunity to just have somebody pray with you. They don't have all the answers. None of us do. But just to know that somebody is going to stand with me in front of the presence of God and just talk to Jesus about my need. Don't leave without having asked someone to pray with you, whatever your need is. But if you'd like to know more about Jesus, please talk with us. And let us share with you what the Bible has to say. Let's stand together and sing this.
Come to the end.